Hello, this is Machine. You're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite Sports Podcast. I am your host, Tim Krajewski, Tim K, aka Pirate Mushroom on Twitter. Hello. Alongside me today, we have Anuj. Hello, Anuj.
What's up, Tim K?
Yeah, I kind of went ticket mode. I don't know why I introduced myself as Tim K. I got radio and people from the ticket know me as Tim K, but people on the podcast just know me as Tim. But we are coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. This is The Center Ring, aka TCR, episode 123. I think I goofed the number last episode.
Clearly, it's getting so high, man. It's hard to keep track of.
Clearly, the masses were really upset because no one told me about it. But that's okay. The date is September 25th, 2018. We are in fall. Or is it autumn? I've never quite figured
Texas
that out.
Texas kind of skips fall, doesn't it? We kind of just go from like summer to almost...
Well,
like...
let's see. Today was 93 and tomorrow's high is 68. So that
there
is Texas for you. The time is 8:50 p.m. Central Standard Time. This is going to be the best episode ever. Not only because Brett is not here, he is doing a co-ed softball game. So, Godspeed with that, I guess. I feel like that's a page in life when you turn to join a co-ed softball.
If you are transgender, can you fill either role on the team roster? Like, if you were a man down, could you play? If you were like...
I believe they call that a switch hitter.
There you go.
You're like those pitchers that can pitch left and right. You just do both. You know, you can go up to bat twice. Boy, girl, boy,
imagine
girl.
Imagine if we were bigger and we said stuff like this.
Yeah, well, it's the joy of being a small podcast. You can say not so PC things and be okay with it. Or is it PC? Would it be more offensive if we didn't acknowledge that? I mean, I'm not afraid to talk about it, you know? That's a social issue, and I feel like it needs to be discussed, you know? We tackle
that's what the show's about.
We tackle very important things on The Centering, like how a transgender person would play in a co-ed softball league. Fall is coming up. Prime season for hashtag church hot.
Oh, yeah.
Prime season. For those longtime listeners of the show, church hot is a concept invented right here on TCR that women are hotter at church. I noticed this last year one time when I was forced to go by my lovely wife. And
didn't we come up with the percentage? It was like 10% or something?
Yeah, I mean, it's like if you're like normally a 6, you definitely look like an 8 in church.
100%.
100%. It's something about they get done up. You're in a closed space.
It's a little... tends to be like a little dimmer. The lighting is kind of nice.
It's just something about it, man. Next time you go to church, I want you to pay attention and I want you to hit us up on Twitter at The Center Ring on what type of church hot you got working with in your local
see if we can get
local
this trending.
Place of worship. Yeah.
Let's get it trending.
Let's see if we could do that. We do have an awesome show. Not only am I fighting allergies, if you couldn't hear, CSGO Major wrapped up. We're going to talk about that. We got some Call of Duty news that kind of broke a couple weeks ago. Maybe a week ago. I don't really know. We had a very busy weekend. We went to OP Live, which is was a very first time local tournament here in Dallas. So we'll talk about that. College tournament, which was kind of cool to see. You don't see that very often. But I do. Let's start with CSGO. Why don't we? You did have the Face It CSGO Major wrap up over the weekend. Spoiler alert, Astralis ended up beating Na'Vi in the finals. I don't know how you want to tackle it. There's a lot of things to talk about. We could talk about the matchups first. We could talk about the the event as a whole, if you'd like.
Let's go into the matchups, and we'll come back and circle around to, did you know it was a major?
A very good forward tease. In the semis, you did have MIBR versus Navi. I knew Made in Brazil definitely struggled throughout the tournament, right? They 2-0'd Complexity, but even that wasn't like a convincing 2-0. But Navi embarrassed them.
Yeah, I mean, I think with MIBR, most people expected them to be Complexity, right? Complexity had kind of made this amazing run. I mean,
you know, my prediction was Big and Navi were going to forfeit because they were going to be too afraid to face Complexity, and surprisingly enough, that didn't happen. So,
well,
I believed. I was drinking the Kool-Aid.
You were, and it was hard, you know. Also, not too watching how they'd played in previous rounds, but there's five major winners on MIBR. Chances are they were, you know, if they were going to find a time to really come together and play well, this was going to be it, right? Like, you couldn't lose that. I think that would have been devastating for that group to lose that match. And they pulled through. They came out with the 2-0, and I think MIBR needed that just because of they're the first team again to ever get 16-0'd in a major, right? And it's an amazing stat line to think about that it's just never happened. And to happen to them, I think, was huge. So you had them. They obviously ran into Navi, who you'll notice will go a little bit deeper in this run here. But Navi was playing really well. You know, Navi had Electronic and Simple both. Really, I mean, at the top of their game, they had the top two ratings in the tournament. So you have 1.36, 1.34, and Electronic being number one.
I think it's fair to say that this was probably Electronic's best performance since joining the team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he looked really good. He looked really comfortable.
In the semis and in the grand finals, he looked really good throughout.
Yeah, semis, quarters, amazing. Grand final looked rough for their whole team, especially Simple. Okay. But yeah, but I know what you mean. Yeah, I mean, Electronic looked like he looked like the person they brought him there to be, right? Electronic had been playing so well on Flipside. We all were hoping it was just a matter of time because I feel like a little bit of time had passed and we were all a little questionable. Like, is this lineup really, you know, going to excel? And, and if so, when? They had some really good performances. And I remember on the tail end, they had some tough outs. I know a couple of those tough outs were to Astralis in earlier rounds of some of the tournaments. So.
Well, that was always the joke, right? Is that they always got bounced by Astralis early on, right? So like if you just went to go see their results, it looked a lot worse than what it really was. I mean, yeah, they would get bounced from tournaments, but they would get bounced from the eventual winner of the tournament. So it's kind of like, take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, exactly. And that's for them, this was their time to make the run. Astralis was on the other side of the bracket. FaZe was on the other side of the bracket. Liquid was on the other side of the bracket. So I think if Navi was ever going to make that push, you know, this needed to be the time for them. And they did, you know, obviously advancing to the finals. On the other end of the bracket, you know, again, I think a little bit as expected, Liquid pushed through against Hellraisers 2-1. I think, again, most people probably predicted that Liquid had played so well up until that point. It looked a little shaky, you know, when I think on Mirage, Hellraisers made a little bit of a comeback at the end, and then they carried that momentum over into the second map and actually took the second map. Map 3, again, wasn't the easiest of maps, but Liquid was able to pull through in advance. And then the matchup of the tournament, I mean, happened in this round. I think Astralis FaZe, everybody was kind of hoping to see that as the finals, you know, the big setup, all off back in the finals. But we got that in the quarters, and you saw Astralis. Man, Astralis is so damn good. Like, what is there to even say about them?
I remember back when they were here in Dallas, right, and the big talk at ESL finals in Dallas were their utility play. Like, they had, like, it was like three rounds in one match where they got grenade kills, which
it's kind of the start of it too, right?
Yeah.
Like at Dallas.
It's where people started taking notice. I think if you went back and note, you were like, oh yeah, I guess they have always been really efficient, but you never noticed it until they started getting the frag kills, the with the HE grenade. That's when people are like, you don't get that many grenade kills on purpose. Nonetheless, starting off on, you know, Inferno, throwing it down mid, you know, and you hitting that guy at the corner, and then all of a sudden, like,
they
by
felt
boiler.
More tactical, right? Yeah, like, right. They felt
Normally,
more tactical in
you
the
would
usage.
Use your frag grenade to finish off a kill. Okay, I know I hit him. He's weak. I'm going to throw a nade there, or I'm just going to throw a nade to delay or do something, right? But yeah. They were legit using it to kill. And I think people noticed that in Dallas. And you would think between that, because that was what, back in March? April?
April, May timeframe.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
You would think that would give plenty of times for teams to notice, watch film, and catch up and catch on. But they really didn't, because even here, that was like still one of the major storylines, is that they were just much more efficient with their utility compared to other teams. Like, you'd be late in a rounds and Astralis would still have a smoke and a flash to try to take a site or hold a site, where other teams were going in there with nothing.
Kind of like to what Zonic said in our interview with him, right, at ESL Pro League. It's not about necessarily using the utility, because everybody uses utility, right? Like, that's the biggest part of the pro scene, is how well they use utility. It's not wasting utility that's a big difference for them, right? It's not throwing that nade really when it's unnecessary, mauling a spot off when you have the ability to check it properly, and just not wasting utility. So they always, towards the end of a round, have something left over in the tank. Or, you know, there was a perfect example. It was great. It was on Inferno, or not Inferno, it was on Train, or one of their matches, I believe it was on Train. And they knew a player was down there, and they had the numbers, so they could have really just overwhelmed him. But instead, they still threw that flash, knowing that, hey, if we blind him and we walk out of here with all three of us, it's better than him getting that one lucky headshot and turning it into, you know, a 2v1 situation, or at least equalizing the kill. It's just the way they use their utility. Overpowered FaZe, because FaZe was not using Kerrigan as an in-game leader. They had switched over to Nico. I think with
we
Nico
talked about that
running,
last episode, like, yeah, kind of a desperation move when you're going into the quarterfinals of a major to say,
and, well, not even that, they were down 0-2 in
it was mid
the previous round, right? Yeah, there was like 0-2 in the previous stage, I mean, I'm saying. And had they lost one more game, they would have been eliminated. They made the switch to Nico. Nico took over. They did go 3-0. They didn't have the toughest run to get to that point. But against a team like Astralis, you can't run basic stuff. Doesn't matter if you have some of the best players in the world. They're too tactically sound, and they overpowered them. So you saw that go 2-0 in Astralis's favor. In the semis, I thought, you know, Astralis and Liquid was going to be that one matchup where I was hoping for, you know, a three-map epic matchup between these two. But again, Astralis just overpowered them from the start. It didn't really look close at any point. I felt like it was actually a fairly boring match to watch. They really just overran them. And same thing again on the other side, Na'Vi doing a 10 IBR. Again, not very exciting matches. I think Electronic and Simple were hot. Those are the two people you don't want to be hot at the right time. And again, I felt like a relatively boring semis.
It was a boring grand finals too, though. I feel like I feel like Astralis does that, though. I think that's what I have learned, is because of their utility play and everything, because they just won't throw a molly at the beginning just to hold you off for the first 10 seconds of a game, right? They'll use it in situations where it's like, no, the bomb's down, and now I'm going to use the molly to hold you off, right? So then it's like there are a lot of rounds that end with people saving because the utility is still there at the end when the bomb's planted. So I think that's what you'll get. I've noticed that with Astralis a lot more than other teams. But even then, if you want to just jump to the grand finals, I feel like Na'Vi were making a lot of little mental mistakes. Like on...
Go ahead.
Okay, let me make my one... A few points.
No, yeah, go.
And
for
I even
sure.
wrote them down. Look, I have notes.
Damn, that's the first time I've ever seen that from you.
Well, I'm a professional broadcaster, sir. Okay. Mental mistakes by Na'Vi, some that stood out for me. Flamey trying to ninja defuse with no kit on Nuke. He tried it. I don't know, because it wasn't like he was trying to fake him out or anything. It just, he didn't know what to do, and I think he just said, F it, I'm going to try to diffuse this in the smoke.
Might as well just go
but
for
with
it.
No diffuse kit. Like, dude, at that point, probably gets, to me, I would feel like you'd want to get some kills or do something. Running, they ran out of time with sight control at one point on Nuke, where there were about three people in Na'vi, but again, because of the utility and with the way the Astralis was poking, right, Na'vi never once felt comfortable just getting in and planting the bomb. And they lost sight control while they were on site, and time ran out just because Astralis was good enough to poke. And we kind of brought this up with Complexity and MIBR. One thing that really impressed me with the way Complexity played, okay, because clearly they were outgunned, right? Outskilled, outclassed, there's no doubt about it. Like you've mentioned, MIBR has five major champions on the team, right? So clearly they on paper and in the game were better. But Complexity, when they adjusted, I felt played to their strength, right? They knew they were not going to just turn the corner and outgun Cold, right? Or whoever is around there, Stewie, whoever. And so Complexity slowed the game down to favor them. Complexity was, they were not taking peeks. They were not taking the fight to MIBR whatsoever. They were letting them come to them. They were letting MIB come to
be the aggressors. Yeah.
Yes. And that's where I felt Na'Vi slipped up in the grand finals, is that they really wanted to be the aggressors. They felt like, we need to push. We need to make the peaks. Where, again, I don't know what round it was, but I know it was on Nuke. The bomb was planted on A site. I want to say it was Zeus. All he had to do was dance around the silos on A site. Just dance around them to try to kill time. But instead, he tried to peek and to get a kill, and he died, and Astralis defused the bomb. It's like, dude, the bomb's planted. Why are you peeking? Why are you being so aggressive at that moment? And I felt like it's because at that time, Na'Vi, they felt
they were
the
already
pressure.
Down. Yeah, they were
down.
They're down by quite a bit, because first half of Nuke, first of all, the first mistake is playing Astralis on Nuke. Astralis does not lose on Nuke. Don't know why people continue to play them on there. I don't know their exact record, but I know it's something pretty incredible. I'd have to go look that up, but they have one of the highest winning percentages on Nuke. Another problem with Astralis is they're seven map pool deep. They're not really bad at any map, but I feel like you got to take out the ones that they're really strong on.
Remind me when we talk about the event, I have a radical idea for the veto system.
Yeah, for sure. I think Astralis on T side was unstoppable. They were just so flawless. They really just played really good Counter-Strike. I didn't feel like they did anything special in either map. They didn't pull any rabbits out of the hat. I don't feel like it was lucky rounds. They were just the better team. They were hitting their shots. They were executing really well. It shows, you know, when you're playing on T-side, your executes have to be crisp anyway. But they really just dominated T-side on both maps.
To answer your question about Nuke real quick,
mm-hmm.
It is their highest winning percentage of all time for Astralis, 71.4% of the time.
That's pretty incredible. Like, it's probably a map you want to stay away from when you play them. Again, Nuke is just not such a commonly played map, and then again, it's one of their stronger maps when they can get it into their map pool. So I just don't know why you play that map against them. Na'Vi won the first three rounds of T-side, basically got swept the rest of the time. They took one more round late end of the first half, but walked out on a 11-4 half. You know, you're pretty much done at that point. If you go down 11-4 to Astralis in the first half, you're not coming back. Same thing, you know, going into
even if you want to break down this number more, just I want to prove your point as a CSGO genius, Anuj, so
yeah,
forgive me for stopping you down. But even in the last 6 months, they played Nuke 16 times, 100% win rate.
Okay. Yeah. So I know something crazy. They just don't lose. So really, in the last, you said how much time has passed?
That's 6 months.
Okay, since they've had their current roster, then basically, since Magist joined them, they haven't basically lost, you know, Nuke at that point. So again, with this roster, that's pretty incredible. And then going into Overpass again, you know, not Astralis is really not bad on any map. And so they just outplayed them. It was a little bit closer in the first half. But again, when Astralis got onto T-side, they just ran away with it. Device walked away with the MVP of this tournament. Highest ratings, again, Electronic and Simple. Highest team ratings were, again, Astralis and Na'Vi. It shows why they both met in here. Couple of interesting facts, you know, to walk away with the major, unless you want to go into any more analysis on the finals. Again, I think it was pretty...
No, I mean, I think you said it best. I think my final thoughts on it is there's really no one you can blame on Na'Vi for playing poorly. I think they all kind of looked like they played a little frustrated, right? They were all playing like they were losing, and that's why they were being very overly aggressive. I think that made them make a lot of mental mistakes, right? It wasn't like so much that they were getting outgunned a lot of times. It was just mental mistakes. Bad pushing, you know, really bad trades at moments where Astralis could just walk into a site and pick off their kills and no one was there to trade. But again, that's not really saying anyone played poorly for Na'Vi. That's just what Astralis does.
Astralis is just a dominant team right now. Couple of fun fact for the major. We mentioned this last time, and you know, just want to make sure we got it right, because I know there was some iffiness about it. But Olaf Meister, again, is the only player who's competed in all majors and achieved legend status. So congrats to Olaf. That's like an insane stat. Hell Raiders in Complexity. I read this on one of those infographics, so that was pretty cool. Hell Raiders and Complexity have secured legend status for the first time in 4 years. They both did it back in 2014 at different majors at that year. The peak hit 1 million. That was in the finals, Na'Vi and Astralis. And then just if you had to guess, I'm going to ask you two questions. I want your best guesses on them. How many maps did Astralis lose this major?
One.
Bonus points if you can tell me to who it was to.
Nip.
Liquid, and it was an overtime, but still, just one map.
Oh, Nip, I think, beat Liquid.
Nip beat Liquid. No, Nip beat...
Astralis.
Was it Astralis?
Yeah, you're a fan. I'm right.
Hey, I'm reading this infographic question about the winner. Lost That's only one out of wrong. 10 maps.
That infographic is wrong. They lost to Nip in the challenge.
That was an
stage.
Overtime, wasn't it?
Let me look.
That went into like three overtimes or something.
Where's
and Rez clutched it at the end. You're actually right, Timothy. You know what? I knew that sounded off. It was like in triple overtime.
Yeah. Nip.
See, okay.
Nip won.
Semi fake fan. At least I remember it once we started talking about it.
Yes. 28-26. Nip won on Mirage. Yeah. That's what when you said it, I was like, no, I remember.
Okay.
I remember.
Again, only fell two maps. Hopefully this crap is right coming up here. What do you think the most played map was?
Mirage.
It was. And you know what's funny is I wouldn't have guessed that, actually. I would have guessed Inferno.
Well,
I felt
Inferno,
like we saw was one behind. Mirage was played 13, Inferno 12, Dust 2, 9. I really would have felt like it was Inferno. And maybe it's because every time Inferno was played, it went to overtime, it felt like. So
I was going
to
say, I think that's what it was, that Inferno was long. And it's just... Here's my radical change for the veto banning system. For Counter-Strike, all right?
And the major in general. Give me anything you got for the major, too.
Well, and you can use this for the major, for anything really going forward, all right? So how many maps do you typically... Because there's normally one out of rotation, right? So...
You have seven maps at all times.
Seven maps. Okay.
Yeah.
What if each team gets to ban two, or even if you want to have like a home field advantage, right? Higher seeded team gets to ban two, lower gets to ban one, and then the rest are just randomly picked.
Like they just, you don't actually pick the map you play.
The team does not get to pick the map. They get to pick a map or two that they do not want to play. And then out of
kinda
the
like,
three
so you
or
want
four
them to
remaining
do it.
Maps, it's just random, all right, computer generated, picked out of a hat, whatever, we're playing this map.
So you kind of want it to be more like the early stages, except not have as many bans, because those are best of ones in the early stages.
Yeah.
It basically gets eliminated down to three, and then it's randomly selected, or two, or whatever, and then it's randomly selected out of those maps. You just want less vetoes and more randomness to the map selection. Yep.
That way, you are forcing teams to increase their map pool,
mm-hmm.
Teams can still have that choice of always having an insta ban. Like back in the day, Virtus Pro insta ban Dust 2 every time. Every
time, like they never play it.
No matter who they played, they insta ban Dust 2 because they said we do not play it, and we are not even going to bother practicing it because we know that will be our insta ban every time. So that still gives those teams that option, but then you have it's random.
I would like that. I wouldn't mind that. What I would personally like is Valve not to be so freaking lazy and create new maps. I think there needs to be somewhat of a refresher here. I'm not saying wipe out 7 maps, right? But I'm saying add 2, take out a couple. You know, you can. I know a lot of these have already been redone, but Cache feels boring, feels stale. People don't like to play it. You don't see it that often.
Well, why do you have to take it out though to redo it? Right? You could still have it in there and then just redo it behind the scenes.
Well, I'm saying add like new maps. Oh, though, like you new, know, like new.
Yeah.
Yeah, like create something or hire a creator, like hire the people that can do this. It's just
another thing that I think is odd on that sense. I feel like every map that Valve always has to come out with has to be perfect to the fans, right? And I'm not talking Canals, because Canals was a god-awful map from every aspect, right?
Yeah.
But I also feel like there are other games out there where it's like you might not enjoy a map, but it's still in the rotation, and you just kind of have to live with it. Where I feel like with Counter-Strike, it's like, oh, people have an issue with this? Well, we're going to take it out of the rotation to fix it. You know, it's like there needs to be more maps and there needs to be less vetoes because that way you get more variety. But when it's, you know, when you have 2 maps taking up the majority, I mean, what, probably half of what is played at a tournament, like that's just going to get stale as a viewer regardless. Because you see it every time. Last major Cobble was the hot
got pick. Played a ton. Yeah. Again, even if they left these maps and just adding more, you keep the same number of vetoes or reduce it by 1, you're going to see a lot of fresh maps played. I just want more variety when it comes to that. I know that has nothing to do necessarily with the major, but I would like to see a deeper map pool, just something new to kind of look at when we're watching. We see that we can name 50% of the strats, if not more. You know, almost a few moments before they're happening because they're all pretty obvious. We've seen them 1,000 times at this point. Yeah. If you've watched enough Counter-Strike, you know exactly what's happening, you know, what they're doing. It's just, it'd be something new. It'd be nice. What do you think of the major as a whole?
We kind of talked a little bit about this over the weekend and in our show chat. I feel, this is weird, right? I feel almost guilty about this opinion. I was not that excited for it. And I feel guilty because I know there's only like 1 or 2 of these a year. And I should feel like I need to get to my computer. I need to get to a stream so I can watch this. I do not want to miss this tournament, right? I feel like that's how I should feel. Like this is going to prove to me the best team in the world. And I don't feel that way anymore about these majors.
Because you can see all the best teams in the world next week compete in Istanbul for Blast Series. it's not like this is the only tournament.
Even from like a, you know, we said it, right? Even from a production standpoint or a stage, you know, a stadium point of view.
It looked normal to me. I didn't see anything different.
It looked like ESL New York. You know, it didn't look like a major to me. Like
I didn't
Austin shoots off confettis when a team wins. Like big freaking deal. Like I don't know. This might be just me being picky and it might just be me crying because Valve doesn't care about Counter-Strike. But this is Valve's tournament. The major is Valve's tournament and they should be the one that should be blamed for this.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it felt like anything special. It was a fairly, it didn't help that the games towards the end were relatively boring too, right? Like there's nothing, there's no graffiti coming from this major. Let's put it that way, right? Like you're not going to see any one special moment for Astralis.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Like what, was there ever a point where Astralis had to make a game changing play, which turned the tides on a map or closed out a series? No, they dominated. Like there was nothing. The only thing they can put up on the wall is 16-0 in like one of the favelas for Brazil, you know, like that's really about it. But there's really nothing that stood out in this major
Maybe Cold can get that tattooed on his other bicep.
Right?
0-16.
I mean, really, there was just nothing special about it. It really wasn't. I felt a little, I don't want to say bored, because I still enjoyed Counter-Strike, but the stage wasn't exciting. There wasn't like holograms. You know, again, I compare everything to Dota, and I'm not even a Dota fan. Like,
but you should, it's just, that's how it should be. And like, people shouldn't feel bad, or you shouldn't make excuses that, well, that's the TI. And this is a major. Like, what?
It's the same thing, isn't it? Like, it's supposed to be the same thing.
It used to be, Anuj. It used to be where the major was touted as, this is the best team in the world, and I don't care what happens in between now and the next one. Until this team is dethroned at the next major, this team's going to be the best team ever. Right? Look at how we used to think of Fnatic and SK.
Teams,
right?
Yeah.
When they won those majors, even when NiP won a major, right? NiP Magic and all that started from there. With this, it's like, it's just, okay, this is a tournament that you name a major. But guess what? Blast Pro Series and ESL New York next week are going to look just as big, you know?
Yeah, again, this always comes back to the oversaturation in CS, which people will argue one way or the other on, but I feel like it's completely oversaturated. Every tournament feels about the same. I felt like what should have at least made this stand out is, you know, maybe this spawns having something to do with like team flags like they have in Dota, right? Like having some stuff up in spawn and team, you know, what are those? The gloves and special skins just related just to the major. I know they have souvenir skins, but that's not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like some unique, like Astralis skin that their weapons have skinned over them. Right. Like just stuff to like be excited about. It's like new, fresh.
I've always said this, right? The thing that Dota does so well with the international is, yeah, the prize pool is huge, right? And that's always a side note. Your prize pool should never be the driving point on why your tournament is important. It really shouldn't, right? Like, for example, look at the Overwatch League. No one cared about the prize pool for the grand finals, right? Look at a Super Bowl. Do you know how much the winning team gets for a bonus for winning a Super Bowl? Like, no, they do. I promise you that they do get a bonus.
They definitely
have
something, yeah.
But you don't care about that, right? It's the story. It's what that tournament means. What Valve does so well with the international is that it is a celebration of Dota, right? It's a celebration of the game, what the fans love. It's a celebration of the teams, the players, everything. That weekend is everything Dota, right? You would think that that is the only game that exists to these people. And the major is just another Counter-Strike tournament.
Yeah, so it's funny because like the VP of ESL was on Twitter today. MB Carmack, I think is his name, or that's a Twitter handle at least.
Yeah.
And he mentioned, you know, I guess a fan had asked a question, why don't they do a crowdfunding thing where they give away like in-game items and stuff to ramp up the money and at least make it more exciting from that standpoint. And he goes, oh, well, they do. It's the same thing with sticker money, except it goes directly to the players rather than to the prize pool. I don't see them as one and the same at all. Like, I feel like Dota gets new stuff every single year, whether it's like skins, maps. I mean, you know better what they put in those packages, but it's not
the battle pass,
just,
right? You get that battle pass and there's certain game modes. There's everything in there, right?
There's a lot more
predictions. There's more to it.
A lot more to it, right? The stickers have been the same for the last 4 years, I think. I don't think they've changed anything in terms of what they offer. And it's not like we're buying a package. You're really either buying stickers, A, to put on your gun, or you're buying them just purely for the sake of being able to do the pick'em challenge, right? But it doesn't generate any hype. Like, I know players are all waiting for the stickers to come out, and, you know, fans to a certain extent get excited about being able to buy your Steam stickers, but I don't look at them anywhere near being similar in terms of the value added to the game and how it changes CS. It does nothing for that. It's just
Can I spit out another world-changing idea that you will hear first here on the Center Ring? And I swear to God, if this comes up at the next major, I want credit for it.
What is it?
Player trading cards. You have the trading card. You can get Stewie's trading card, and it'll have a picture of him, his gun or his whatever. And as the major progresses, the stats on the back of the card updates with his stats for the major. And then that
way, when it's done,
it's just a collectible item at that point.
Oh, just like something to keep, a keepsake.
Just something to keep, right. But then it locks in those stats. So that way you're like, all right, let me look at this Stewie card. Damn, you know what? Look at that, KDR. Look at that ADR for that major back then. Like, that was insane.
Like, just have something as a keepsake for that particular major,
make it unique for that major. You could still sign it. He could still do his little sticker signature thing on it.
But that would be cool as part of a package if they did that, right? Like, if you were buying that Dota 2 style package and there were player trading cards involved.
You know the Panini stickers that they do for the World Cup? Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Something like that, right? Some collectible item other than stickers, right? You want to make it seem like it's unique to the major, not just a
Kind of like Blast Pro does for random talent, right? They give those trading cards with fake stuff, but have one that's actually more realistic. Yeah, that'd be cool. I wish Valve would do more integration into the game, like in terms of, like you said, game modes, maybe some sort of like, I don't know. I mean, they're the ones that need to be creative. They're the ones that are making $1 billion off of us. Just give me something fresh, even if it's like temporary maps added to the competitive map pool that you can play. I think it would be neat. I think it'd be cool to see that stuff. You even see banners in the games of the teams that are advancing. There's just a lot of things that I feel like they could do that they choose not to do. Gaben hasn't even made an appearance at a major yet, and he shows up to every TI and celebrates, hands, fists in the air. Makes me a little jealous, obviously, as a CS fan.
Partially, too, it's to blame the people that are in a position with a voice to be heard. Me and you, we're just two dudes who host a podcast, right? We're no one in the community. And we're just looked at as those fans who don't know what we're talking about because we're not involved, right?
Yeah.
Those guys that are involved are the ones saying, no, there's nothing wrong with the CSGO community. I'm not saying it's a dying game. It's not a dying game. I totally understand that it's popular. I'm looking, though, years down the road when other teams or other games are being creative with how they want to survive, and Counter-Strike is still just having a tournament every week, and, we care about this one because it's called a major. That's what I'm more annoyed about, is that these guys within the scene that can change, or at least get to the people who can hear about changing, are still why there's no issue here.
Yeah, no progression in terms of what they offer to the community. Part of it is the community for Counter-Strike is a little crappy at the same time too, right? It's not a healthy community. There's a lot of toxicity in the CS community, but I feel like that's in any competitive game, so I don't know why Valve chooses to treat it different. It's not their baby per se. It's not Gaben's favorite game, whatever it may be. It just, there's a little jealousy in the back of my, my heart or in my mind.
Right.
How they treat other events and stuff.
And that's why I said, that's why they hear us, they see us on Twitter and they go, fan logic, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, I do know. You know why? Because I am a fan. Right. There are some people in there who are trying to talk, and it's like, dude, you're way too attached to this to really have an unbiased
You're
opinion.
Invested in different ways, right? Like, whether it be you're the VP at a tournament organizer, you're a manager for a CSGO team.
You're a caster.
You're swayed way more than we are. We have no ties to anybody. We do our own thing. So when we're speaking from the heart, I think that's a big difference.
Let me tell you what. You have a major this last couple of weeks, and out of just the champion stage, four of those teams are playing in two big tournaments coming up this weekend. You have FaZe and Liquid playing, and Na'Vi, so that's five. You have FaZe, Liquid, Na'Vi playing in ESL New York, And in Blast Pro Series in Istanbul, you have Astralis and MIBR. And that's not even, those are just people who've made champions, right? You got NiP, Cloud9, Virtus Pro, Space Soldiers, G2, Mouse, NRG, all teams that
every team that, yeah, all teams that just played this past week, yeah.
And there is no time off. You have to get right back into it. I know Sir Scoots was in London representing the players for the Players Association, and I know he said he talked to Valve and people. I really do hope that that came up. Like, you want to know why, you know, as far as why some tournaments don't feel like they matter as much? Because Astralis could get blown out of the water this weekend by Virtus Pro. And it's like, what am I supposed to, how am I supposed to feel about that? Yeah, Virtus Pro just swept Astralis, but Astralis is just coming off a major victory a week before. So do they really even care about this tournament? I don't know.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's a shame. The money is so high in Counter-Strike, whether that be player salaries and to run an organization, that I feel like it's going to be really hard to change the way it's set up right now. Like, I think the players would obviously like a higher salary and to rely less on prize pool money. But right now, these guys are getting paid so hefty. It's just the more the merrier for them. They're not going to be the ones to change it.
Everyone wants their cake and to eat it too.
Yeah.
And then honestly, until you get a league and until there are more franchising or at least league contracts being signed with organizations.
Or until the game starts to die down a little bit. You know, if the game starts to lose, if the money is not there, then I think you start to see changes to improve the game from the developer and from the way tournaments and all that are run. But right now, there's just so much steam behind it that it's going to be hard for them to care too much about what we think right now.
Yep. We spent a lot longer on the major than what we have originally thought. We are going to... Do you still want to get into Call of Duty real quick? Spend about 15 minutes? All right. Before we get into that, then, let's tie this off with our own TCR official challenge.com's bracket for the Face It CSGO major. The winner, drum roll, was the bracket named Champion Astralis. Retrospect, we should have told people to put their Twitter handle in their bracket name, because I don't know who any of these people are. I will email you, sir, if you listen. I will email. You will have 24 hours to tell me your Twitter name, and we can make sure that it's all good. If not, I guess we'll just go on to the next one.
What's the next one called?
Pokem.
Oh, never mind. I thought it was something else.
No.
Not one of the inappropriate names.
And in third place, funny enough, and Brett's not here to gloat, but Brett actually got third place. He beat out both of us.
That's so sad.
Now, to be fair, I really did think MIBR or Navi and Big were going to forfeit, and Complexity was just going to be given the trophy. But, you know, that's predictions for you. Sometimes they just
I missed the championship game, too, didn't I? I did. I only missed a championship game. Was it point weighted or something? I feel gypped on this whole thing.
The way the points were is like, if you got, I think it's because like the later you went on, the more points you got. So because Brett picked Astralis to win, like that point boosted him over.
Oh yeah, yeah. So picks, he got 5 of 7. Well, just know you're TCR expert. For esports, CSGO, all things CSGO, got 6 out of 7. I was too cocky with Navi. Stupid.
Well, you know, Astralis was not the fancy pick. It was the obvious one. So I don't blame you, sir. I don't blame you at all. Let's get into Call of Duty, though, real quick. We'll spend like 10 minutes on it.
10, 15, 20, 30. Yeah, like we'll,
maybe like an hour.
Something quick.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. No, so last week, Call of Duty, they did their big announcement at Treyarch for the CWL. A lot of things were revealed that a lot of people kind of already knew. They did officially announce for this upcoming season of the CWL, 5v5.
Damn.
4v4.
I like it.
A staple in Call. Dude, there are so many people upset about that.
Oh, I'm sure.
So many people. And maybe it's because I'm coming from PC where it's like 5v5 is the norm. right? On console, yeah, you had 4-on-4, right? Halo was 4-on-4. Gears of War, 4-on-4. Rainbow, back in the day, 4-on-4. That's what it was. But no, it is now 5-on-5. They did this for multiple reasons. A, because the casual playlists in Call of Duty are going to be 5-on-5 in Black Ops 4. And Treyarch said their main point for doing this was they wanted casual to be closer to the pro scene. That way, you want to become involved in the pro scene? Hey, look, they're playing a game. I'm going to go and play it, and it's not completely different. My argument to that...
Go ahead.
They need a pro playlist then.
Yeah, just throw that in there and give us the option to play competitive multiplayer in a 5v5 setting. Like, why do I have to play 7v7 or whatever? Like,
when I see pros playing with no radar and, you know, certain perks aren't available and all this mess going on, then I should also be able just to play that on a ladder in game. Like, just let me play what they play. But so 5v5 is coming back. With that, you have a lot of roster changes coming up. Envy just announced their new roster. I don't know. Do you have that in front of you for the Envy Call of Duty roster?
Well, I know they picked up, they basically picked up Evil Genius's roster plus one. They kept their main player. I'm drawing a blank on his name right now. He's a young and upcoming star on Envy's roster. But then they picked up Evil Geniuses, who just won COD Pro League. And what I'm super excited about is Apathy is part of that. Apathy is still like the man. I love the dude. He seems like the most genuine guy watching his stream. And he was on Envious prior to going to Evil Geniuses. So he was there for their back-to-back champs run where they won one of them and then lost to Optic in one of them. But yeah, they basically bought out Evil Geniuses' roster and they are hopping over with the plus one from Envious' previous roster.
Man? I need someone who really knows Call of Duty to explain how all this happened. How do you go and buy the world champions?
Yeah, I mean, maybe the like, buyouts weren't that high or what, like Evil Genius needs the money. Like, that is
Evil Genius,
pretty crazy.
You just won Worlds. What are you doing selling your roster? Like, I don't get it.
Probably more advantageous to them to get the money up front than to hope for another miracle run. I don't think many people saw Evil Geniuses as...
No, but you know, we've
you know,
always
the champs
this,
winner.
This was, but World War II was so different, you know? Like,
it was. I mean,
this is closer to, you know, the previous war, like Infinity War and things like that, where it's not as boots on the ground, right? You got a lot more of that futuristic kind of aspects to it.
Yeah, the grappling gun and things like that, and the feel of the game.
It's, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see though with where all these rosters end up. I don't think Optic, unless it's happened as we are talking, which I'm actually going to look on their Twitter because Lord knows if we're talking about roster moves, it definitely happens when we're recording and we never know.
No, nothing has changed. Okay. They have four out of the five.
Like everyone is waiting for Optic to pick their fifth.
So everyone's waiting on Karma. So if you're on Twitter, go follow COD Burner. He's inside scoop. They don't know if he's a player. They don't know who this guy is. This dude's completely anonymous and he's leaking everything. I mean, he knows everything and it's like some of it's like some pretty crazy stuff, but he's on point with what he knows. And this whole thing revolves around Optic Karma. Karma was benched during last season's run for them. This is considered to be his style of game. So a lot of people are waiting, and there was rumors that he had a verbal agreement to join 100 Thieves, but there is a certain roster spot he wants to go to somebody else. So there's some conflicting information there. But basically, everyone's waiting for Karma to choose his team. So a lot of these other fifths will then roll in on a lot of these teams. So yeah, once Karma signs, it'll be a... it'll cause a ripple effect throughout COD, and you'll see JCap, you know, Articus, Pristini. These guys will all land in their spots. I think a lot of people are interested to see what happens to Clayster, fan of the show, friend of Tim's.
We go way back, man. Me and Clay, way back. On Battalion.
So I think a lot of people are just waiting to see what happens with Karma. Once Karma falls, the rest of them will go down and...
They
and
did
we'll
increase
see.
The prize pool, which mathematically doesn't really actually increase, though. Like,
yeah, equals
they were
out.
making a big deal about it, where they're like, $6 million, and everyone like quickly did the math, and they're like, yeah, but you just added another player to the roster. It's the same damn thing.
It's like, the same amount of money.
It's the same amount of money. You're not increasing anything. But it's also like people are saying it's foreshadowing to franchising, right? It's been rumored now for a long time. Well, a long time. Last couple of months, that they are also looking at franchising the CWL soon, much like how with Overwatch League did it, which makes sense because they're both with Blizzard now, and I think they have learned, and I think owners have learned, right? Like, oh, we can make a lot more secure money by franchising these teams.
Yeah.
You know, we're not relying on prize money and our team necessarily being a huge success, right? If you franchise, then it's a little bit more guaranteed.
You think they'll make a comp scene on competitive or PC? I mean,
so this is,
or
what
you
I think
it'll just be Blackout.
That's what I think. I think you're going to see Blackout go to PC for competitive. And then the thing is, you know, Rainbow Six Siege tried doing that. When Siege first came out, they tried to do PS4 pro scene and a PC pro scene. And it just didn't work. Mainly because the PC players were more entertaining and the PC crowd is not going to ever, like, I mean, I did it too, right? When I saw a tournament going on, I was like, oh, sick. Rainbow Six Siege is going on. Oh, it's the PS4 bracket? Meh. When does the PC one start?
Yeah.
So
when do the big boys play?
I don't think there's enough room in this world for two different competitive scenes for the same game.
Even for a title like COD?
Even for COD. I don't think it is, because you got to look, like, right now, how long has COD been in with PS4, right? And console. Like, that's where that fan base is at. That's where the history is at.
Well, that's where the money's coming from, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, but that's why it's on PS4. But even then, at this point in the game, I think even if PS4, if Sony stopped paying them to play on a PS4, like, you got to think, if they walk away from console, they're walking away from all those players that have huge fan bases behind them. And I'm sure some of them could transition, you know.
But it wouldn't be the same. I agree. I think it needs to be console first, especially on the actual, like, 4v4, 5v5 competitive scene. I think that'll stay console. I don't actually think Blackout will pick up on the competitive side. I think it'll just be a fun game to play. Yeah, I think it. Maybe you'll see some of these Fortnite Friday kind of style things, but I don't think they'll ever do, like, officials for it, purely because it just takes a lot to run and it has to be ramped up. It's only a 1-year title, most likely. I think people will just play Blackout for a long time, you know, unless the next one is even better, if they even do another battle royale style mode, depending on where that scene's at a year from now. But I think Blackout ends up just being a really fun game mode that a lot of people are looking forward to playing, and comp just stays PS4.
It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, it's the first time you're going to, I mean, really, when you think of back in the day with Halo, where you had what I consider the original battle royale, the free-for-all mode, you know, where you did have tournaments. You went to MLG and you had your free-for-all tournament, and then you had your team tournament, and some of the pros played in both, you know. So it'll be interesting to see if the Blackout does turn over to the pro side of it, and if it is on PC, will you see any crossover? Will it be just one big event for it?
Will they do, like, cross-play maybe or something?
I'm always wary, though, because Call of Duty has a contract, and I don't know the details of it. I need to look it up, for a new game every year.
Oh, so, yes, there's that cycle. It's that 3-team cycle, right?
So to do, you know, like, when it comes down to franchising a team, how is that going to play out? You know, you're paying a lot of money for a franchise in a game that next year could bomb, or your team could just not adjust, and you have these players signed for 3 years. You're essentially signing a player to 3 different Call of Duty games.
I think that would be the difference that you see between Overwatch and COD, though. I think the difference would come in is you're not going to agree to multi-year contracts. It's just going to have to be a yearly thing, because
you're
looking
sign
at a player
per
like
game.
Well, look at Formal. Formal was one of the best players in Infinity, you know, in the previous iteration of COD, and he just never really took off in World War II, and it was, you know, and now I think people are expecting him to be badass again going into Black Ops. So there's no way I would tie a player down for a multi-year contract in Call of Duty unless he's just the most popular player and you're doing it to keep that revenue coming in and keep that fan base strong. But it would be a bad move, I think, just because you don't know what you're getting next year.
We'll have to see. Like I said, a lot of player announcements are going to be announcing soon. We're going to try and get someone from Envious on the show. I think we can make that happen.
I have faith.
I would love to hear from a pro's perspective that, I mean, sure, there's got to be pros that hate switching games every year, right? Because a lot of them seem to really like Black Ops so far. Now, that might just be a little behind the shade of Blackout, right? I think a lot of people liked Blackout, so now that's earning brownie points for Black Ops 4.
It's like helping the title in general.
Yeah, even though a lot of people were complaining about it when it was in beta because people saying players have too much health. So, I don't know. I'm kind of interested to see. Brett,
Blackout was just like huge.
Yeah.
Like the success that the beta had was pretty instantaneous and it was quite large.
Brett is in our show chat on Twitch. I guess he's not busy enough to watch us, but he's too busy to talk. He made the point that the skill ceiling in Blackout needs to raise because at the moment it seems like any average Joe can be a badass.
We'll see if Brett can be a badass. That will prove his point.
It's true. If Brett can look good, then I guess anyone can be a pro. Any final thoughts on Call of Duty, though?
No, man. I'm excited for it to come out. It releases October 12th. Season will be kicking off shortly after. And
I'm excited for the season. Yeah. I don't know if I'm excited for Black Ops 4. I don't know. It's every Call of Duty, right?
I'm going to be more excited to watch the pro scene.
Yes. From a fan perspective, I like the pro scene of Call of Duty. From a consumer perspective, I hate buying a new game every year and dumping $90 into DLC and then, oh, okay, nope, we're done. Bye. We're going to make a new game.
I wish they would just sell me Blackout. Like, I wish I could just buy Blackout for 30 bucks or something.
Might be a thing. Let's get into some e-news, though, shall we? As we wrap up the show. E-news, your weekly segment of news that is headline, but we just don't have enough time to get to. In CSGO, we'll definitely be talking about this coming in the future. Envy, rumored to be getting back into the scene.
Mm-hmm.
With who?
Splice's previous roster. Looks like they're going to take three of Splice's previous players, Cutler, Drone, and Semphis. Rumored to be talking to JDM, rumored to be talking to Nifty. I really hope they go the Nifty route. I think if they just stick to Splice's previous roster, the biggest plus is they get that ESL Pro League slot. Maybe that's the motivation behind it. If you're going to get back into CS, it better be coming with the pro slot. Otherwise, it's probably not worth it to grind through MDL and all that to get that slot.
Mm-hmm.
Not super excited. It's exciting, you know, until I see who the full roster is, because the potential is only so high. We've seen Cutler and Semphis and these guys for a long time. So,
like, all of a sudden, they're not just going to turn it on. And
yeah, it'll be good. They'll win games here and there. But
the Nifty pick a pickup would be very interesting, just because we've said it on the show for a long time now that he needs to just get off of Renegades. The windows is closed. It's not that they're a bad team. It's just the window's closed. It reminds me a lot of when Simple was on Flipside or Nico on Mouse Sports. Just sometimes,
if you're Nifty, though, do you feel like this is like the roster you want to go to if you're switching from Renegades? Don't you think have a better chance of making the major on that team than you do this team?
Yeah, from that perspective, yes. But I think it would be I don't know.
What's the motivation to be sold?
You're not going to win anymore. Roster. You're not going to win anymore with that roster than you would with Renegades, right?
Yeah.
I guess the motivation is that it's going to be an NA organization based in Texas, so he can be based here, and maybe it's easier to bounce to another team.
Yeah,
how that works, though, you know, behind closed doors. I don't know if that even matters.
If they get him, great. I hope they do. It's just if I'm Nifty and I'm looking at the setup here, it's like my value is pretty high right now. Do I want to risk it and, like, not go to that top-tier team
away? Realistically, Renegades, they were in the major, right?
Yeah.
So he'd be leaving a major team for a team with no major slot, no proven... I don't know.
Winners on that team besides if JDM went there, right? And JDM, again, hasn't played CS in a while, so...
It makes you wonder what FNS is doing. Has his phone rang at all throughout all this? Like,
yeah, it's weird not to see him on a team. I think FNS has a... If I'm Ghost Gaming and Kadian is going to take MSL slot on North, which is also rumored, if I'm Ghost, my first call is to Semphis. FNS. Not Semphis. FNS to get him onto Ghost Gaming's roster to fill that void.
Cloud9 made a roster move today as Flusha is joining C9 as Stiko. You hear his name.
One of the three.
You'll hear it every different way when watching a tournament. Is off. He is no longer on the team, and they are adding Flusha. So we talked about it, I think maybe last week, maybe two shows ago, that I did not want them going for European leftovers. Like, stop going after these guys for their name. And they did just that. So, I don't know, dude. I guess the potential is there. You know, you've seen it where, like, think of, like, guys like Guardian. He went to FaZe, and he's been playing well. I'm saying, like, people thought Guardian was done when he left Na'Vi.
And Guardian went to go play with, like, top players in the world.
I know. That's what I'm saying, though. He was not there to change the team.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make myself feel better about this pickup. And I just don't think it's permanent. That's the thing.
Yeah, it feels very temporary.
Even if they play well, I don't think Flusha is going to stay on the team for that long because I don't think he'll want to. Because as soon as they start playing well. Yeah, exactly. When they start playing well, or if it starts like, man, you know what? We kind of like this. We need to move together, though. Like, we need to live together so we can scrim more or something. And that's where he's going to be like,
the cord.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It feels
temporary, so it's hard to get excited, right? Yeah. Like, you just don't think it's going to last. You don't see this as a marriage. This is more of a fling. And Cloud9's in a weird spot. Who knows what they're doing? I mean, I guess we just have to see how it all plays out with them.
Yeah. We'll see. I don't know. I think Nifty would be a good fit for there and a better permanent fit, but
that would be a good move.
That's kind of, I think that's kind of where everyone's waiting to see where he goes, though. In other news, Artifact, the Valve card game, it was announced that they were going to have their first tournament for a $50,000 prize pool. I don't care about the game. My only beef with this is that I hate in esports and in competitive gaming, we have tournaments for games that are not released. They're in alpha or beta. I think it's a ridiculous concept. Other than that, we already brought up the winner of our bracket challenge, so we will contact them again. We got 24 hours, end of day tomorrow. And go ahead.
You're talking exactly. You're mentioning what I was about to mention. Go ahead.
I was going to say, we did go over the weekend to a local event here in Dallas called OP Live. It was a event put on by Dallas Fuel and SMU Guildhall. I'm sure some other people that I'm not getting paid to mention them, so look it up. It was like a college tournament one day, and then you had a Fortnite tournament with pro-ams and everything there. First time ever I had a lot of fun. Anuj and I were out there all weekend. We were with a booth called Bang Bang Signs, helping them out.
Check them out if you can, bangbangsigns.com.
Yep. They make some cool stuff. But really, man, just for a first-time event, a lot awesome. Of fun.
Yeah. For not only just a first-time event, like a collegiate event, right? I didn't know what to expect going into a collegiate environment where it wasn't necessarily the pro scene, but UNT ended out, Tim's alma mater, ended up pulling out the win in Overwatch. They beat OU, Oklahoma University, in the finals.
In a game that went the distance. Best of five. Yeah, went all five matches. Double overtime. They stretched it out, but UNT walked away with the victory.
It was cool because the Fuel were involved, and they had pros there. They had OGE in effect there, you know, to mingle with the fans.
OGE is my best friend.
He is a fan of the show as well, if he knows what we're saying all the time here. And you know, he it was cool. It was really fun to like
understand
this. it was a lot of fun to see them there. They were really, you know, lively with the crowd and meeting people, and they were like just hanging out, doing normal things, playing games in the booths with fans, streaming over there. Yeah. So really cool event. And yeah, I really had a blast.
Very local vibe to it, you know. Like very community. We met a lot of people from Twitch, DreamHack. I mean, there were a ton of people there, and they just would talk to you. You know, it was just like almost like a networking event, but it wasn't. It was just people were that chill, right?
I don't want to hear this, but I'm almost glad that it wasn't just like so damn packed where you really couldn't.
Yeah, it wasn't nut to butt and you couldn't really enjoy it.
Like, I know that's what they want ultimately at these kinds of events, but I really enjoyed the feel and the vibe that I got from the event. It was a lot of fun. We met some, like Tim said, met some great people. You can check them out at OP Live Dallas on Twitter. There's a couple of underscores in between all those words there. But yeah, it was a fun event. We enjoyed ourselves, and we look forward to seeing the growth that that event has in the future.
And I really hope it stays collegiate.
Yeah, I think that gave it a cool vibe.
That is where it needs to find its niche.
They had a good mix. Again, there was pros there. Fortnite had Complexity pros there. In the Fortnite tournament, which they didn't pimp out enough, was the pros versus like the normal Joes, right? And in
Anyone
Fortnite, a normal Joe won it. It was like, I think it was an Indian dude that pulled it off, if I'm not mistaken. Like, might have been random. Me. I don't remember, but somebody like random just a normal Joe won it on Sunday. So yeah, cool event. Appreciate them having us there.
A lot of fun. I think overall, I saw really no one complaining about it. A lot of people had fun at OP Live Dallas. So looking forward to next year, as I'm sure they'll do it again. That will just about do it, though, for this episode of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Thank you all for listening. All of you. Maybe two. Maybe three listeners. I don't know. But I appreciate it all the same. Whether you listened all the way through or skipped around, I love you. We had a lot of Counter-Strike to talk about. And I hope you enjoyed it. Follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. You can see when we go live there and all our news. Our website, tcr.gg, will have our Discord, all of our social media on there. You can join that. Be part of the conversation. We always encourage it. We will be back next week. Maybe give you a little Overwatch League off-season update. We haven't talked about Overwatch in a while. That's what a Counter-Strike major will do. Although it might not feel that important, it still demands the attention of the show. We'll probably talk some ESL New York, Last Pro Series. Will it have as many delays as last year? Stay tuned to find out. But again, at The Center Ring, hit us up on there, and we'll talk to you next week.